and it's because of your prayers. And, you know, our extended family, Soto and Gloria, just had a baby boy. And that is miraculous because they could not have a baby. And Gloria almost died three times. She almost died. And she had several stillborns and six miscarriages. And her body, every time she would get pregnant, would just go into total toxicity and go sepsis. And so she almost died multiple times. And the first time they came here to visit was in the end of 2014. We were just freshly put in as pastors. And they were just tired. If you remember, I don't know if you remember meeting him then, but they just wanted to give up on ministry, give up on everything, and they were just tired and just wanted a baby, and it just wasn't happening. And so we prayed for them. They came multiple times after that. We just kept praying with them. We brought them up here on several occasions and just pray with them. And I know a lot of you were praying for them, and they got pregnant. And it was just the whole story is just quite miraculous how it all came about. And they were scared to stay in Mongolia with, because the doctors aren't as good there, but they couldn't come back because of the virus. And so they just had to trust the Lord. And a few days ago, they brought a beautiful baby boy into the world. And such a testimony, such a promise. And it's just cool. It's so neat to see your prayers and our prayers as a house come into fruition. Because we see a lot of chaos and we see a lot of disappointment, but just to be able to taste the fruit of answered prayers is so beautiful. So I was really encouraged. And they're going to, as soon as the nation opens up, they're going to come and bring their baby. And they haven't, Mongolians kind of like to do this big Simba moment, and it's like, especially when it's a boy, it's a pretty big deal. So they're waiting for the right moment. They're going to do a big thing. This is Genghis, you know. I don't know. He's going to have an awesome, powerful warrior name. I know that. It's funny. You go over there. They love Genghis Khan. We think of him as this barbaric warrior, but to them, he's kind of a hero. And he conquered the known world at that time on horseback. And he was a little barbaric, but but it just goes with the territory, yeah. Anyway, I'm excited. I'm excited for what God's doing. I'm excited for a new season. I'm excited for this new, for the Feast of Trumpets, for coming into a new calendar year. And I love the fall. It always does something in my heart, and just reminds me of what the Lord is really up to. So are you good? Are you happy? Are you alive? Look at your neighbor, say, are you alive? If they're sleeping, give them a little pinch. You can turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I've been, for the past, I'd say 3 weeks or a month, I have been meditating on Proverbs chapter 3. And I can't really get out of it. And it's just really been ministering to me a lot. And God was kind of showing me something, a picture I was reminded of when I actually lived in Mongolia. I was having a Mongolian barbecue, which it's way different than American Mongolian barbecue. It's not like just ordering Mongolian beef from a Chinese restaurant. It's Mongolian barbecue is pretty amazing, but there I was in the middle of the countryside eating Mongolian barbecue with all these amazing Mongolians, and they're just ripping the meat off and just going to town, and I am too. I can put back some meat, and so I'm eating, and I think I'm done. I think we're all done. I'm ready to go on to the next thing, But they just keep plowing through, like eating the bone, like a dog. You know, I'm like, I'm just eating, just, and I'm like, wow, like these guys are intense. And then they soak the bone in their tea for a little bit. And then they take it out and they break the bone in two and they begin to suck out the bone marrow. I was like, wow, that's intense. I don't know. I don't know if I want bone marrow today, but the Lord began to speak to me at that moment, and it kind of reminded me now is, you know, many times in my life, as I begin to study the Word and get in the Word, you know, there is always a deeper place you can go. You can eat the meat. You can eat the milk if you want, and the milk it's satisfying. It's delicious. And then there's some meat if you want to go in for the meat. But then if you want to go in for a little bit deeper, some more nutrients, you got to begin to crack that thing open even more and go for the marrow. And this is what the Mongolians do. And God just kind of began to show that to me then and say, there is more that I have for you. I want to crack open my word a little bit more. Yes, there are scriptures that you are super familiar with, that you're in love with. But if you just stay on it, And simmer on this thing for a little bit, I'm going to crack this thing open. So there's going to be a revelation that will literally shift and transform your life. And that's what I felt as I was reading Proverbs 3. I just felt like the Lord really began to crack this thing open for me in a new way. And I just began to get really fed personally. And so I pray that this would minister to your heart and that we would all be like spiritual Mongolians breaking it open. Amen. So why don't we pray? Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you so much for every single person represented here. I thank you for our land. I thank you for the beautiful state of California. I thank you for her destiny, Jesus. I thank you that this is a great state, an apostolic state. It is a leader state. And I just pray, Lord, for your great grace and comfort and peace to be upon this state, to be upon our nation. With all the stuff that's going on nationally, Lord, I pray for peace. Peace in our land. Unity in our land. In the mighty name of Jesus. And God, I pray for your blessing on this word today. I pray for your strength, your wisdom. I pray you would seal the word on every person's heart. In the name of Jesus. And everybody that agreed said, amen. So Proverbs chapter 3. And I guess I'll call this wisdom for the journey. Say wisdom for the journey. Kind of seemed appropriate. And I'm just going to read some verses. We'll see how far we get. I don't really know exactly how far we'll get today, but I just want to jump into it and allow the Holy Spirit to do his thing. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. I've probably read that 1,000 times, and I love it, but I would never let it truly penetrate my heart. Because I always wanted to get to like my favorite verses, and the verses that are like magnets, you know, and the ones that we memorize, like 5 and 6. But listen to verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. So as I begin to kind of study this, meditate on this, the Lord said, slow down a little bit. I'm like, okay. And so I want to break this down even more. And the Lord kind of put this in my heart. The first two words are very significant. My son. And so this is how the Lord starts this letter. And it's not just a letter for Proverbs and for those of that day and for a son in that day. This is a letter from the Father to us. Yes. This is a letter from our Father in heaven for instruction to us. And I love that he doesn't say, my stranger. He doesn't say, my servant. He doesn't say, my slave. He doesn't say, my enemy. He doesn't say, the one that I'm disappointed in. He says, my son. And if you could just allow those two words just to penetrate your heart in a way that maybe it never has before, that God looks at you and he says, that is my beloved. This is my daughter. This is my son. This is my child in whom I am well pleased. He loves you. And so everything that you have to read through Scripture has to come from the lens of my child. And so I begin to filter the rest of this whole chapter through the first two words. And I love that God will start a dialogue with us always from the place of relationship. He wants to begin this beautiful dialogue, and he wants to begin this conversation that can be challenging to us and challenging to our faith, challenging to where we are in life, but he will begin it out of a place of relationship, out of a place of intimacy. Amen? Because if we want intimacy, then there has to be identity. And so he's like, you are a son. You're not a failure. You know, in our society, there's so many things that swirl and twirl and whirl, all, everything that it can do. In our mind, it's like, you're a failure. You're a fool. You know, I'm not smart. I'm going to be just like so-and-so, like my dad, like my uncle, like that person, like, you know, whoever. And we have all this false identity. But I love that God cuts right through the garbage of that. He cuts through all that and he says, no, you're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. Amen. That's just the first two words. My son. See, we're not worthless. We're not a no good sinner. We are children. We are made in the image of God. We come from God. We're made in the image of God. And we're born with a purpose. Hallelujah. And he says, my son, do not forget. Say, don't forget. Don't forget my law. What is my law? What is that? The law is the Torah. The law is the teaching. And I was just thinking about this a little bit. You know, the teaching of God really, if you look at Scripture, the teaching of God really represents the heart of God. And so God was kind of speaking to me, and this just like hit my heart so much. And I could just take you back to seasons of my life where this hit me, and it was Mike or Michael, don't forget my heart. And I feel like in our time, in our age, in our society, a lot of us are forgetting God's heart. And we forget his heart when we forget his word. His heart is found in his word. His heart is found in his teaching. And as we forget his word, as we forget the beautiful promises and the prophetic words and the scriptures that have come so alive in us, we begin to forget his heart for us. And God began to take that even a step further. I believe we forget his word, but then we also begin to forget every single time that God has miraculously and powerfully and beautifully come through for us. So many times has he come through for our nation, but yet we're like, oh, is he going to come through? You know, is he going to just squash us like little ants? No, God loves America, and he has a plan for America. God loves our church. He loves his church, and he has a plan for his church. God loves you. I mean, I just think about the testimonies. Think about all the miracles that he has done in your life. And think about how many times we often forget about all these miraculous testimonies. You know, a couple weeks ago, we did a baptism. It was a lot of fun. And it was just a great time doing a little baptism out by behind Crowley Lake there. And there was some people from high school that I bumped into that I knew, and they knew me BC, before Christ. And so we're getting ready to do a baptism, and they're talking amongst themselves, and I think that's Mike over there. No, it couldn't be. We're all praying and getting ready for the baptism. No, I think that's Mike. Hey, and I'm like, oh, hey guys, yeah, we're gonna do baptism. And anyway, so we do the baptism. It's great. And then I felt like I just needed to stay and hang around them a little bit. And so I start talking to this lady that I went to high school with. And I just begin to start sharing my heart a little bit. And she just starts weeping. And the Lord really just started touching her heart, and she just said, I'm just in a really bad place. I'm in a really hard situation, and I'm just scared. And she started sharing all these things that were going on, and she's like, this is what she said. She said, you and Justin, you made it. She said, how did you do it? You have beautiful families. You got out of that. And it was almost as if in that moment, I saw my life like flash before my eyes. And I could see myself as a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old just getting blasted and wasted and just doing incredibly stupid things and going to jail and just messing up and screwing up my life. And I just saw the Lord continually putting his hand upon my life. And then 19, just giving my everything to him. And I just begin to look at these moments of my life over the last 20 years since I said yes to him. And the answer I said to her, it's simple. I just keep saying yes to him. And I just keep remembering everything that he's done for me. Because I came from a dysfunctional place, a dysfunctional family and a broken family and a family full of hurt, you know, and death. And so I come into the house of God with lots of gratefulness and with a thankful heart. And that is the beautiful thing of I think that the Lord loves about church is that when we come into church, it reminds us who we are. You know, hobbies are amazing. I need a good hobby. You know, we all need a hobby. We all need to, you know, go for a hike or do something that you love. Play golf, find an activity. But activities and hobbies and sports, they don't remind you who you are. Only the house of the Lord reminds you who you are. Because we come in and it's like the worship begins to soften your heart and you begin to sing the testimonies. You begin to sing the worship and you say, oh God, you saved me. When I was going nowhere, when I was screwing up my life, you came down and you rescued me. You left the 99 and you came for me. I love that about church. And so it's like God was just reminding me, get in his word, get in his presence, and get in the house of God. I told her this, and I just began to pray over her and minister to her. And it was just this really cool moment that I didn't expect to happen. But remember who you are. I think we need to remember who we are, remember where we've come from, remember what God has done in your life. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're not even through verse 1 yet. my son, my daughter, my child, do not forget my law. Don't forget my heart. We can't forget his heart. He says, this is great. Let your heart. I love this because he doesn't say Michael, Justin, Penny, Rena, I'm going to make your heart do this. I love you so much that I'm going to force your heart to do this. No, he says, let your heart. And so what does that tell me? It says that I have a choice. I have a choice on what my heart is going to do. And I love when we come into meetings and the feelings are there. I love when everything is just high flying and everything just seems perfect and the anointing's there and the grace is, everything's like bada bing, bada boom, right? And you're like, this is great. But what about the times when there's no feeling? And there's no goosebumps? And there's no anything. You got to make your heart. Make your heart praise him. Make your heart remember. And that is called the walk and the life of faith. And it's great when we have these high-flying moments and there's healings and there's salvations and there's all these miraculous movement. And we need those. But you also need to have the steady, consistent walk of faith that no matter what I feel, I'm going to make my heart praise him. I'm going to make my heart say, I love you. I worship you. I point all that I am to you. I'm making myself glorify you above my feelings, above my emotions. I am literally rising above everything that I feel right now because my feelings want me to stay in bed and hit the snooze 10 times. But how many know we can't do that? Come on, somebody. I know in my life, sometimes I do. I just need to make my heart praise him and make my heart rejoice. And just because your flesh doesn't want to, especially, you know, we're going through COVID and there's forest fires and there's riots and just turmoil in our nation. And people can get pretty discouraged. You know, the suicide rate is through the roof right now in our nation. Depression and anxiety is through the roof in our nation right now. But sometimes you just got to say, I'm just going to praise him. I'm just going to worship him. Hallelujah. And I love this because it says in verse 2, it says, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Come on. I love, you know, everybody loves it. You know, we watch TV and you see all these info commercials. Do you want a long life? Do you want to live super healthy? Do you want the secret to success? You know, buy my book and you will have all the secrets. Pop, you know, take this pill. This pill is filled with the most nutrients and vitamins that you've ever had in your entire life. If you take one pill a day for $9.99 for 3 easy payments, you will live a long, lasting life. Everybody's like, oh, I'm in. You know, I heard this new product was super good for you. There's all these things, and there's these, and I love health. I love nutrients. I love vitamins. I love minerals. I love all that stuff. I think it's important. Exercise is important. But God like sandwiches the secret of life, the secret of health, the secret of success. He sandwiches it. He hides it in the scripture so that we have to dig it out and find it. And then if we begin to obey it and heed his word, you will have length of days, long life, and you will live with the peace of God that passes all understanding. See, everybody wants this. Everybody wants peace. People will travel far, everywhere across the earth to have a little bit of peace. The fountain of youth, whatever, you know. I heard if I go to this one place and so-and-so, you know, speaks to me and he gives me his, you know, thing that he's been harvesting, I'll have, you know, success, you know, whatever. But it's a gimmick. It's a joke. And God says, if you keep my word and don't forget my heart, you're going to have a long life. And not just a long life, but a good life. And a life not of anxiety, not of panic. Oh, but you don't understand, we're in a pandemic. No, no. Like God's word is still true. I don't care if we're in the dark ages. I don't care if we're in 2020. You know, you see all these funny memes. It's like, I saw this meme. It was like Marty McFly from Back to the Future and Doc sent him to 2020, and he's like, oh, no, wrong year, you know. He's like, whatever you do, do not go to 2020. But, well, I don't care what season, what year we're in, what we've been through. God's word is the same. And he said, if you will not forget my law, my heart, my teaching, and if you will keep my commands, he said, you will have length of days. You'll have a good long life, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be with you, will guard you. I know I want this. I need it. We all need this as children of God in the journey that we're on, and it's right there. We just need to apply it. Hallelujah. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Bind them. I like that word, bind them on your neck. It kind of reminds me of a tattoo or something. Anybody have a tattoo in here? Let me show all the tattoo people. I was hoping Marty would be here. He's got a big sleeve. He could be like, I have one, but I'm covered up right now. So, but the tattoo, they put it on you, and you have to be very intentional. Unless, you know, I know some people get just wasted drunk, and then they're like, put whatever you want. And they're like, oh, Mickey Mouse, dang it. You know. But usually people are super intentional with like something that's going to be on their body because they understand that what? It's permanent. And the only way to get it off, you also have to be incredibly intentional and have a lot of money with like the laser and all this stuff. And so when you put a tattoo on, it's usually something that's going to stay there. And so God is saying, like, I want you to bind mercy and truth like a tattoo. I want you to bind it to yourself so that it's not leaving you. It's not coming off you. You put it around your shoulders. You put it around your neck. You wear mercy and you wear the truth of God. And we don't just wear it, but we walk with it. We don't take it off. It's not like a garment that we're like, well, I'm going out to eat, so I'm going to leave that at home. That's my church garment. So, you know, I'll come into church, mercy and truth. Ooh, praise him. And we go somewhere else, anger and offense, you know. But bind it like a tattoo. Bind it. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And listen to this. And find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. This is powerful. And you read that and it's like, wow, that sounds like an amazing gift. Because it is. You're like, geez, that's an incredible gift that God is like just giving us, right? All in Proverbs 3. That's a promise and another promise. So he says, walk with mercy and truth, and then the favor of God will be with you wherever you go. So this is kind of like getting a gift card. How many like getting gift cards? I enjoy a nice gift card. My birthday's coming up. Next week, I will have a list of the things I like. But I enjoy getting a good gift card. Here's the thing with a gift card. It's like you can walk into a restaurant or you can walk into wherever your gift card is for, you know, a sporting goods place. And, you know, maybe you got like a $500 gift card or something. Somebody just loves you. They just think the world of you and they just give you this awesome gift card and you are just stoked. Like, man, when I use this gift card, I'm going to get some great stuff, you know? And so you're making a list, you're checking it twice and doing all the good stuff. And so you go to the store and you're going to use your gift card, but you don't bring your gift card. You leave it either at home or somewhere else and you put everything on the counter and you're like, I'd like to purchase this. And the man says, okay, well, how are you going to pay with this, sir? Paying with my gift card. Okay, we'll slide your gift card right here. I don't have it. Then you can't have this stuff. But I have a gift card. This guy loves me so much he gave me a $500 gift card. And the man would say, I really don't care how much that person loves you, likes you, but you don't have the gift card, so you can't have access to what's inside the gift card. And so we have to access what's inside of the gift that God is giving us. And we access the gift by wearing mercy and truth. If that's how you scratch off the back of this beautiful gift, because favor is an amazing supernatural gift. The favor of God, when it rests upon your life, it will open doors that no man can close. And favor will also close doors that should be closed that no man can open. That's favor. And we, as children of God, we want the favor of God to go before us and make a way. And God says, if you want the favor of God to be resting upon your life, as like an Esther, the favor was so heavy upon her life. If you want favor to rest on you, he says, wear mercy and wear truth. If I could say it like this, favor is activated by keeping mercy and truth. And you're like, okay, well, how do I do that? You keep mercy and truth by not forgetting and by keeping his word. See, it's all these verses are all together. You want a life of favor. This is what every believer should be striving for. We want to live in the presence of God. We want to live with the favor of God. It's like the kiss of God upon your life, the favor of God. You want to live with that. But the only way you live with that and the only way you activate that is by keeping, binding mercy and truth to you and not forgetting His love, not forgetting His teaching, and keeping His word or keeping His command. Amen? Amen. I love that. This is good scripture. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord. Say, trust in the Lord. With all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I have always loved this verse. I think all of us can agree this is, it's a go-to. There's been moments in my life where I was confused and I didn't know what to do. And so I literally hung out on verse 5 and 6 for days and months even. God, I don't know what to do, but You said, if I trust in You with all my heart, if I don't lean on my own ways, You're going to lead me. You're going to guide me. I'm confused. My heart is perplexed right now. But Your word says this. And I would just press into this. And, you know, I could take you back to times where, you know, even Penny, I remember back in 2006. This was one of the scriptures He gave me. There was a lot going on in my life in 2006 and some transition that was coming. And the Lord put that on her heart for me, and it was just life, and I just began to meditate on it and eat it, and because it's truth. It's easy to trust in the Lord when everything's bad. You know, we usually say when everything's good, but really, if you think about it, it's easy to trust Him when everything's bad. Because we're at the bottom of the barrel, we feel like, well, I can just, what else am I going to go? I'll just go to church, you know. I'll just worship Him. I have nothing, and so we look to God. But then all of a sudden, life begins to turn around, and you get that raise, and you get big answers to prayers, and things begin to shift, and relationships begin to get restored, and all the breakthrough, and the Red Sea begins to part in our life, and we're like, hallelujah, God, I'll take it from here. Right? I mean, we literally do that. And I say that and you're like, yeah, I would never say that. But really, we do that with our actions. We trust Him. We trust Him. We trust Him. And then it's like, God, I think I can get it. Can you just stand back there and kind of give me like a little cheer, you know, every once in a while and say it, attaboy, you know? But that's not what the scripture says. It doesn't say trust Him only during COVID. Trust Him only when life is bad, but trust Him in everything. And it literally says, and lean not. Say, lean not. That means like, think about a man with like a cane or a crutch, and he's has to support himself, and so he leans on it. So this is like, the Bible's telling us, do not support yourself with your own ways and with your own thinking. Don't support yourself. Don't have a crutch in this earth. Let your crutch and let everything be the kingdom of God. He said, don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on your thinking, because it's foolish thinking. Earthly thinking is dead thinking. We have to think with the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's good, because it's like when we do this, it doesn't produce death. It doesn't produce anxiety. It doesn't produce fear. It produces life in us. It produces peace in us. And then the Bible says, I will direct your path. And I don't know about you. I think I know about you, but I know about me. I know about my heart. I want my heart to constantly, consistently be led by the Holy Spirit in every season of my life. And that is my prayer for my children, you know, as they grow up. And I have a 9-year-old. Like, what the heck? How did that happen? It goes very quickly. And But I just desire that for their life so much, that they would not look to themselves as they grow older, but they would constantly look to Jesus. But that starts with us. That starts with somebody giving them an example. I have to begin to truly model that. What does that look like? A person that leans not on their own understanding, doesn't support themselves with their own understanding in ways, but is always looking to Him. Starts everything in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Yay. He will say, He will direct my path. Amen. Verse 7. I don't know how much I'm going to get through, but maybe I'll just continue it next week. We'll see. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. See, he tells you, I love how God disciplines, you know. I love how he's such a father. He's so good and he's so gracious. And he will speak words of encouragement and he gives us the way of life. And then he gives a subtle, it's not even a rebuke, but just like, hey, like, don't be proud. Like, you're going to walk in life and you're going to do great things and you're going to live a long life. You're going to have peace. Don't be a proud person. Because pride will destroy your life. And to kind of boil that down, what, you know, it's like, it's about not being wise in our eyes. What is that? It's like, it's not about my abilities. And many times, you know, I've camped out in my own abilities, but it's not about my abilities. It's about Him. It's about what He's doing. It's about who He is. And it says, fear the Lord. Somebody say, fear the Lord. And depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And here's another promise. For it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You want some divine health? You want healing? You've been suffering with incredible sickness? The Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. I think of Joseph. I love the story of Joseph so much. And I love just the man's heart, that it was the same in every season of life. And I just pray that I would have a heart like that through all seasons and stages of life. Wherever I'm at, I just like, God, I just want to love You in the pain. I want to love You on the mountaintops. I just want to love You in every season. And I feel like that's all of your heart here today. But I love Joseph in this particular situation where, you know, his master's wife thought he was a good-looking guy, right? And she found him when he was alone. And she had this sneaky, cunning, crafty Jezebel idea to sleep with him. And she thought, well, you know, I'm sure Joseph is going to go for me. And why wouldn't he, right? And so she tries to make an attempt to sleep with Joseph. And Joseph could have. There's no social media. There's nobody watching. The king's not even there. It's just the two of them. He could have easily just said, why not? It'll be 5 minutes of fun. It'll be however long, you know. This will be great. And I'll just mosey on out of here. I'll wash my clothes. She can wash her clothes. And nobody will ever know. But I love that that wasn't his response. It wasn't like, how can I do something bad and hide it? It was, no, I fear God. I have such a reverence and godly, holy fear of who God is that I cannot do this. And actually, I'm gonna run. I don't have it in me just to talk to you right now and to tell you how this isn't gonna work. I'm just gonna get out of here. And so he's like, "Woo!" He was like, did a Forrest Gump on her. So I was running. Sometimes you just gotta run. Like, sometimes you don't have the willpower, the strength to just say no in that moment, whether it's just getting wasted or making a bad deal or being, you know, proud or a bad relationship or a bad, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes you just got to turn and run. I'll talk to you later. You know, I'll tell you about it when this is gone. You know, you just got to. And God says, when you do this, when you fear me, when you fear the Lord with a holy fear and you depart from all forms of evil, you're going to walk in health. That's his promise to us. Divine health. Say, who wants divine health? That's a promise in the Word of God. I want divine health in my body. I want strength in my bones. See, this is, you used to see those commercials like, drink milk. It's good for your bones, you know. Calcium. And got milk? You know, how about, you got the fear of the Lord? If you do these two things, it will be strength to your bones. I love that. And you're going to live a strong and healthy and vibrant and peaceful life. I got a couple more verses I'm going to do, but Patrick, you can go ahead and come up here, brother, and we'll just see where we go. Health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Verse 9. It says, honor the Lord. Somebody say, honor the Lord. With your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. I know we don't like talking about giving because it's a touchy, sensitive subject. But God doesn't really mind talking about giving. He talks about it throughout, from Genesis to Revelation. He talks a lot about giving. And I know it. Oftentimes it can be a scary thing to think of giving when you feel like you have nothing. And then to be able to give a little bit more, it's like, why would God require that of me? Why would God ask that of me? It doesn't sound merciful. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound like that's in my best interest. I promise you, this has nothing to do with this church. This has everything to do with your heart. And giving is a beautiful act of worship. When we give to the Lord, it is just another way to say, you work. See, you work hard and your money, the Bible says where a man's treasure is, that's where you're going to find his heart. And so we work hard and we make our money, which is our treasure. And he says, can you worship me with that? I just want my I love you to be in every part of my life. I want my I love you, I worship you to be in my service to him. I want it to be in my actions. I want it to be in my marriage. I want it to be in my parenting. I want my I love you to be in actual worship. I want my I love you to be in my giving. I want my I love you to be in every part of my life. And this has been a very strong conviction for many people in this room. And for myself included, me and before I got married, but especially when we got married, we have just lived by this, whether we're pastors or not. It's just a foundation that will change your life forever. And so we made a decision a long time ago that wherever we are, whatever church we're going to, if we're leading or not leading, if we're doing regular jobs, we're going to give to the Lord because we love the Lord. Amen. And it says it right here that this is also a promise. You're like, and there's been seasons in my life where I'm afraid. I'm like, no, I can't, because if I do this, if I give to God's kingdom, then how can I pay this bill? How can I get, you know, pay off that debt? How can I do this one thing? But God says, no, can you trust me? Abraham, can you trust me? Noah, can you trust me? David, can you trust me? And it's the ones that say, yes, Lord, it doesn't look like I don't understand this, but my trust and my yes is for you. And he says, when you have that kind of obedience, he says, your barns will be filled with plenty. You will not live in lack. He'll take care of you. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Come on, somebody. New wine. New wine. I think that's talking spiritually. It's talking emotionally. It's talking financially. It's talking every way that there could be new wine in your life. And the thing that I love about new wine, that from Scripture, it's like when new wine, when it's fermenting, it begins to literally bubble over. The fermentation process that causes it to spill over. And so God's saying, I want to pour new wine into your life. And it's not going to, you're not going to be able to contain it. It's going to bubble over. And this is in your relationship with Him. This is in your relationship with your spouse, with others. This is in your family dynamics. This is in your finances. He wants every aspect and every part of our life to begin to bubble over with the goodness of God. Bubble over with the kindness of God. Bubble over with the love of God. Bubble over with the revelation that He's a good Father. Bubble over with He is more than enough. There is more than enough for God's kids. Right? And God wants us to be blessed so that we could be a blessing. He wants us to be blessed. And as we give, God says, I'll give it back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. And we don't just want to build our kingdoms and get lots and lots of money so that we can just have a big mansion in the wherever. You know, that's not what it's about. But it's about little children in Africa. It's about the orphans in Haiti. It's about kids in Mongolia that sleep in the sewage pipes. It's about kids, it's people in our own area that have no food, that are committing suicide. It's about remembering that God says, I have an answer in the world. I have an answer to darkness, and it's called the church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But a broke church can't do nothing. We could pray, and that's where it all begins, and heaven can move with prayers. But a church that is financially backed can begin to bust down the gates of hell. Because how? You send missionaries. You begin to send teams of worship. You begin to send teams of people to feed the hungry. The gospel takes money. It's not in my notes. I'm just giving you a freebie right now. It takes generous hearts. And God says, test me in this and see if I'll be faithful, right? Test me in this. And see if I will not open up heaven for you. And so we have a challenge today. Right from Scripture. And right to our heart. And it's wisdom. I love that the Bible says in another chapter of Proverbs, in all you're getting and everything that you're doing, don't forget wisdom. Do not forget understanding. So my prayer is that we would glean from this book today and allow wisdom to transform us. Allow wisdom, the wisdom of heaven, the wisdom of a good and gracious Father, a Father that loves us, a Father that has our best interests at mind, that we would allow His wisdom and His heart to literally guide us in this new season of our life. I feel like there's people right now in this room that you're in a very specific transition, and you are saying, what do I do? There's a person this morning, you are literally on the verge of tears, crying out to God, what do I do? I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know where to go in this new season of my life. It seems like there's 10 choices and I'm freaking out. I feel like there's people in this room today that you are facing that kind of moment. And I feel like this message is for you, that the Father says, I have a path for you. I have a path for you. And I just want to speak over you right now, whoever that is. I just want you all to close your eyes with me. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we listen to your word today. We listen to your wisdom today. And we heed your voice. We heed your words from the scriptures. And so right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I command every road, every path in our life that is not of you to be closed now in Jesus' name. And as we look to you right now, just as an act of faith, just lift your hands and lift your gaze, lift your eyes to Jesus as an act of faith. And it's a surrender. It's saying, I will trust you. I will follow you. I will lean not on my own understanding, but I will trust you. I will acknowledge you in all my ways. I will not forget your heart. I will not forget your teaching. I will cling to you. I will cling to your commands. Come on, just lift your head, lift your eyes, lift your hands as a prophetic act right now, saying, I trust you. And I believe right now, as you begin to do this and as we begin to sing, I believe that the Lord is supernaturally closing off bad paths for you. Every pathway to destruction, every pathway that seems good in the natural, but it's going to lead your life to destruction. We close those doors now in the name of Jesus. We silence those doors, those voices. We put a roadblock in front of it now. And God, highlight the path of life right now. Just pray and just turn your gaze, affection to Him. And we're going to worship. I believe as we worship, the Lord is just going to minister to you individually. God, we give you our heart. Fresh, God, fall afresh on us today. We need you in our land, Lord. We need you in our homes, God. We need you in our marriages. We need you in our children. We need you in this church, Jesus. So, God, we will not lean on our own ways, but we acknowledge you, Holy Father. Come on, just acknowledge Him. Let's worship Him.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. And I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. And I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all. You call me friend. Yeah, yeah. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Yeah. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you, Lord. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who cares. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into ashes. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you, Lord. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, 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 oh.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're so good, Jesus. We bless you today, Lord. We honor you. We love you. Can you just put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder or back? And I just want you to release the blessing of God. Sometimes we go through our week and we go through some struggles and we go through some difficulty. And in order to get our eyes back on Him, you got to get that stuff kind of dusted off of you, blasted off of you first. And sometimes we just need a brother and a sister to come alongside of us and say, "You're going to make it. You're going to be okay. Let me get that weight off of your back. Let me pull that arrow out of your back, out of your heart, so you can breathe again, so you can dream again, so you can look to the Father again. And so we're just going to do this just for about 30, you know, 1 or 2 minutes. And
Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you are faithful. Faithful to your children. We can rest in you. Faithful friend. Faithful to your children. Jesus, fill us, Lord, fill us, Lord, with you.
Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Just breathe in this place right now. Just blow in people's lives and hearts and situations. Just a fresh wind of the Spirit, a breath of God, the life of God, the joy of the Father. Lord, I just speak that into every heart right now. Refreshing, refreshing in Jesus' name. Just as the rain refreshes the land, I pray right now, let your heart experience the spiritual refreshing of heaven, the spiritual rain. In the name of Jesus, let your heart be refreshed now in the mighty name of Jesus. We just bless every person in this room. We thank you for your promises, Lord. They are yes and they are amen. Your word is yes and it is amen over California, over the United States of America, over our land, over the church at large. Your promises are yes and amen. And so we love you today, Jesus. We glorify you with everything that we have. And everybody in God's house said,
amen.
Amen. If you want to keep praying, you're welcome to keep praying. Otherwise, you are free to go. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We love you so much. Have a beautiful day, and we'll see you next week. God bless.